Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Welcome to another driving podcast while driving. It's going to turn around into this complicated intersection. This podcast, I'm going to see if I can cover a rather complex issue, and that is looking at most interactions, most things in life, as rather than a one-stage process, a three-stage process. Now, one of the things is that the way that we most interact with most objects is in the final stage. We offer money for it, we buy it, and we take it home, we change the ownership, we use money to change the ownership of the object, so you can actually say the shop owns it, you pay some money and it comes out. And that's very much sort of the final stage. And a lot of people get hooked into final stage thinking. And if there's this final stage thinking, they have a whole series of maladies associated with this final stage thinking. So what else thinking could there be possibly besides... What other stages could you have than final stage thinking? And there's actually three general stages, and that's production, route to market, and selling the idea or the transaction. And a lot of people's energy or thought goes into that, because the majority of things they do involves in purchasing a wide variety of products. Okay, just I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing here. Sorry for interrupting this here. So this is a fundamental thing. So if you wanted to produce a new product, you have to produce it, you have to get it to market, and then you have to sell it. And so there's all of a sudden a greater intensity or complexity behind the fundamental success of a product. So people can see a product as successful, not whether you buy it or not, but that's the final stage of success, having actually gone through those three stages. You would have to have those three stages of thinking. So it's not surprising that people who exist in a majority of that final stage have thinking associated with how you control the world by influencing that final stage, who can buy, the consequences of the buying production. It's actually not very productive. There's actually no, as I say, productive or innovation in this final stage. This is sort of like a reformulation on the actual getting a single idea out, rather than looking at the class, the culture, which is not promoting ideas. You can say, well, let's look at a single idea and let's go through it. And so these three phases in terms of an idea is establishing an idea is an idea. It's not something built. It's out there. It could be on the floor or broken like a piece of equipment, and you can put it together and suddenly has a value. And at the point that it has a value, that it can potentially go up the capability change into the marketing, it can go to the route to market and be sold. At that stage, it has attributed to it something called a worth. It has a worth. So it may not be together yet, but conceptually, it's worthwhile. And so, again, a lot of people who are not even existing in this framework, so like one-dimensional people looking at it, will not understand this very fundamental thing, that something is achieves a sort of the first stage of creativity, and that has worth. And then after you've got worth, you have to get a plan to actually move that idea and migrate it through. That is, support, bind it, put it in context. And then finally, so that's that capability stage. And finally, you have to have the marketing or the motivation behind the idea. And so, you get those three things together. And a lot of people, will come in at the stage of when you are seem... So Worth is something very... it's actually a rare flower. Not everyone sees the Worth, and you can actually hose it down. So people have potential to grow in seeing Worth and formulating the Worth, and this is sort of like the fuzzy front end to innovation or anything like that. And so it's how there's sort of methodologies in Worth. There's this gut feeling, or there's a clinical technical Worth, where if you've got sufficient technical understanding, you can see that this is potentially worthwhile. So the Worth actually grows, it's envisioned into a problem space before the problem is fully solved. If you've got two or three people looking at it, it's the one person who can see in advance the Worth ahead of everybody else and can actually pull together what seems incoherent parts and bring it together and create the Worth. So the creation of Worth, at the point that you've seen it and it's explained, is already very old. So people who go into the space and don't realize of the value of Worth creating, that is, this potential, can go in and they can use very easy, simplistic logic to say, look, it's wrong, it's not of no worth, it's no value. And when you listen at it, they'll say it's got no value, not because of the logic behind whether it will work or not, but it's got no value because it's going to take too much effort. They'll say it's not worthwhile because it's not going to reach the supply chain for you to actually exploit it, or no one is going to change anyway. You know, the happier way it is, the social order is, the motivation is in. So they often, when you listen to people, they will give inappropriate answers associated compared to the technical point that you bring through it for. And I can't say this is just, that's coming down from Mount Druitt. So this is a volcano in Sydney, and we're looking out across to a few other extinct volcanoes. I'm just going to be just a little bit cautious going through here. No, it's safe here. I'm going to get moving here. They can see it there. Now, the thing is that if you say, look, that's inappropriate response, it's not actually looking at the potential. But we don't know. Part of the early stage Worth is that it's got potential, and it's got potential to be valuable to work. And it's got potential to be valuable to work if you've got a discipline of mind to recognize when this is its potential is limited or should be weighted, and that you can actually use what you've learnt there to move forward. Now, if you don't have that, you can say, well, this is like very much when you get up to it moves, say we've got our three levels of Worth, capability, motivation. And so I think in product design or in innovation, getting ideas across, you've got those three things across. When the actual social mechanisms are different in those different areas, so the Worth realization is very much a individual view. Then the capability is a social group. You don't need quite everyone in your group. It's not community wide. You have to be able to socially identify the resources to move that Worth forward. And finally, when it gets into the motivation, it's industry wide, or it's more like a democracy. So I can say that idea will fail because I, as a marketing person, exert my vote and say it's going to fail. And that's probably the simplest way you can dispose of an idea, of saying, I am a negative person. Everyone I know, remarkably, are also negative people. We only support things that support ourselves. What's in it for me? It's remarkable that as I talk to you, I have these conversations where the answer to the question of that people put forward requires them to sit down and think differently. So I was basically developing very, very advanced statistical techniques, well, not statistical techniques, to basically hunt for correlations in, well, it's all like a big data for small data sets. This is to just let the data speak for itself. What it is the students will come out and the data will be presented in different ways, so it would automatically learn how to present it in the most dramatic way possible. So it may, it's quite hard to describe it. So I don't know if you've seen those movies, the people with the data sets on the screens and they move around and it's all high tech, but that's essentially it. Be able to get a test result and actually represent it in three dimensions with colours for the ranking the students or the sex of the students or the station. You can pull up things and you can suddenly see Godfather, this is going to be a long way home because I'm in the M4 and it's a crawling. It's crawling. And so I may lose concentration for a moment as I undergo the art of the merge, the art of the big merge. And come on, you bastard. Come on, you people. Are you going to let me in? Thanks, mate. Okay, so we're in. So we can just relax now. Now what happens to me, you can hear the road surface, look at that. What happens to me is actually thinking through this. There are conversations I've had where people have said, well, the argument I want to bring to this thing is, you've got this fantastic stuff, but what does it do for me individually? And if it doesn't do anything for me individually, it has no value. And I happen to be the leader, and that happens to be an argument which is good enough for me. Now, obviously, it's a good enough argument. It's sort of like the argument of good enough, the actual argument behind good enough is good enough itself. Now, of course, it sort of indicates that you're not going to devote any time to educate yourself as to the value of it. So, this is what the sort of the conundrum is that, a properly disciplined worth evaluation thing. So to formulate it in a different way, there's R&D research, development and productizing and marketing. Most people exist in the world of marketing where they can vote or reference, they can either interact with themselves, make a judgment, or reference opinions about it, and can see where they're going forward. Now, the problem is that if you rely purely on products or ideas going full cycle length, and then recycling into the next idea, you're not going to get very far, because that actually limits the rate of growth. And if you have a system where people are a bit anxious and contract, really crush down research and crush down development and only do marketing, because guess what, all my best friends are in the marketing and that's what I do, that's what I've always done, you're going to create a system where the only ideas which you can get up are the ideas which have gone through this worth, capability, motivation stage. So there's two things to come across. One is that one valuable thing is to be able to steer someone and say, you're talking about the motivation in this framework, this is talking about another framework. But and so there's the assumption that an idea which doesn't get my vote and is not already done, so they're what you call late adopters. So what we tend to do is that late adopters or people who are less innovative have more time to look after themselves and look at the careers, get in control of the system, and they set up this cycle, and it seems to be a self-evident cycle. So it's how they actually I suppose, get to understand it's you limit the amount of ideas that can come up and resources for it. But there's something else I have to say is that often in the development of worth, it's not a simple tick and flick. You just do the calculation, haha, it's done. Often you have to judge that. What is the value of finding the worth of something out? So, what's the value of finding something out? And it may be, I don't know, but on average, with the actual contact and discipline I have, it's going to be likely a much higher rate of return. It's being able to actually factor in intellect into that research aspect of it. So, what will happen is that someone else who says, well, I'm going to only deal in the marketing thing, I'm only going to limit it there. And then they go into the research section and say, well, this is a question I couldn't do. So therefore, it's not, they can't actually perceive the worth. So it's like there's two levels of block. One is not thinking in terms of the worth level, but even if they are taking it to the worth or research area, they can't actually perceive it because they don't have the value to it. Now, the importance of perceiving the worth of something, the potential worth of it, is it's more than actually whether something is worthwhile to do, more than whether it can actually go through the capability and the motivation stage or production and motivation. So you have to actually think of a new thing that the market wants, then work out a way to make it, and then you have to sell it. You have to convince the people that they do want it. So there are many examples of a very bright idea. No one knows how to make it, or if they do know how to make it, no one knows how to sell it. So you've got that process here. However, that is what you would never try a new idea. It is possible to trim the amount of energy you expend on actually coming up with a new idea. So the coming up with a new idea is reducing the footprint of effort you have to produce it. And it's reduced in such a way that the idea is found, but you've also opened up the maximum number of other concepts. It's sort of like concept space. Now, the example of this would be the solution of a set of mathematical equations that says something is possible. And you can see the significance of it. Now, in your peers, no one else can see those mathematical equations. There's no motivation for it on several things. There's not the capability, but also not the mindset, because everyone's working on this last stage thing. And bear in mind, it's, I suppose, similar to like going to a restaurant but never cooking your own food or never growing your own food. It's sort of, yes, you can actually talk about it, you can throw your way around, you can be very rich, you can exist there, but there is this other dimension to fully understanding what's going on. And you can do things so... if you have everything, this is another example of it. I'm about to go to McGill Road. Another example of it is that you can experiment with food, get different tastes, sensations. Just going to write one here. Oops, go like that. Okay, thank you. How's your father? So I'll do this again. Now, this is in contradiction. This is sort of moving the other way of saying that what if society was structured that information could flow? And the answer is no, it can't. And it could with sufficient leadership. That would be a fine thing, but it's not going to. So if the information can't flow, you can actually... if the information itself can't flow, you can actually categorize and reshape the information to be more idiot-proof. Does that make sense? So you, by formulating ahead of it. Now, one of the interesting things is that when this person, showing maths to a maths teacher and saying, oh, this is a new way, well, I can't see, what's the value of it to me? I can't understand, I don't understand, it's a block, and I say, oh, It's probably just to write on a web page. You could suddenly see it and have it well presented. But that's not the major issue. So from this thought of blocks not being able to get through, say like podcasting or the modern technology that I'm having a go at producing, it's trying to actually protect it and I once had a lecturer who was used to be the general manager of 3M, and he wrote a paper called The Diplomacy of Innovation, and he tried to show, I think, an Algidis program called Man in the White Coat, and this man was someone who had developed a fabric which never wore out, and of course what it meant was that the mill people knew that they would soon be out of work, and so it ended with this Algidis being pushed up, being chased across the moors of England. It's a rather dramatic thing, and it posed the overall problem of the diplomacy of innovation, and whereas, as we can see, that something requires diplomacy to get something done, where the alternative is war and destruction. That if innovation cannot be tolerated at all, and it has a natural sense to itself, you can direct your sense by white-outing everything else but the direction that you want to go. You can actually just do it, of course, and that's a natural plan. If you're not producing ideas yourself, you actually move to this thing of white-out everything. And if you white-out everything else, guess what? The only idea left standing is your own idea. Now, of course, this means that you're not going to be in a position for new ideas to be generated. A womb of new ideas is not it. It's more get your little weed growing them out, most by applying Roundup everywhere else. So you've got that's happening, and you ought to be aware of that, and that you're not going to have to, your strategic thinking has to actually go down to reshaping ideas. Erin, now thanks a lot for listening to me for 2 minutes. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.